I'm really happy to be here. I'm on vacation. And I was no longer going to tolerate the enemy touching my sister. I have had it with the enemy attacking my friends. Do you know you're not supposed to tolerate anything from the enemy? We've done that for generations. We have. Not everybody. I always make that clear. Not everybody. But a lot of the body of Christ has just been tolerating the enemy, beating them up, stealing from them, keeping them oppressed. And you know what? We're supposed to be ruling. Say, Christ rules. We rule. Then we should be prospering above everyone else on this earth. And you need to know this, that you have more authority for what goes on in this earth than any other entity in this world. The future of this world is in the hands of the believers. I don't care who's in power anywhere. If they don't belong to Jesus Christ, they don't have authority over the enemy who's trying to take over this world. How many people believe that? Shout amen.
Amen.
I'm giving you truth from the word today. You're going to get a really quick message from me. But it's powerful. It's called power. We really do. You know, if the word says that we have something, then we have it. We were talking about his promises early. Living victorious. We're supposed to be a living example of heaven on this earth. A walking example of Jesus Christ in this earth. And I can tell you, he wasted hell on the third day. How many people know that says that in Colossians? Let me see your hand. You need to read Colossians. On the third day, Jesus stood up and spoiled principalities and powers. He was finished on the cross for the price for you to enter into heaven when you receive Jesus Christ. But Jesus wasn't done with hell yet. Do you know why? People go, why did he have to? He had to go down there and deal with business to take back our authority and dominion that Adam had given away. And then Jesus himself said, I give you. Say, he's talking about us. Say, if he's in us and we abide in him, then we have what he was given. We have what he walked in. So we need to use it. The Father is given revelation right now. Say now. To start changing this world. Jesus is not coming right this moment to rescue you out of here. No matter what you believe, he's not coming right now. Not for that. He's coming to talking to you. Set you on fire so we can manifest for him in this world and stun and shake this world with the miraculous, with handling the wealth of the wicked. The earth itself will begin to be redeemed according to Romans 8 when the manifested sons and daughters begin to rule in this world. How many people here are sons and daughters of God? Say, I am. Then I'm talking to you. And I don't care what your age is. I don't care what you've been going through. I do care what you've been going through. But you know what? He wants it to change. And Christ has done everything he needs to do in order for us to take dominion. Say, take dominion.
Take dominion.
Say, Jesus said, until I return, occupy. Do you know what that word occupy means? It doesn't mean sit around, wait for him to rescue you. Doesn't mean pack your suitcase, run to the hills, and buy sea rations. Say, we are kings and priests. Say,
that's ruling.
So why are people packing their suitcase and running? Because they don't know about the power that was given to them. by the Son of God. I am talking about the person who made everything that has ever existed. This earth is a drop. It's a little tiny speck out in space. And there was nothing there, and he made it. That's who lives in you. He did not bring oppression and sickness and disease and hate into this world. He came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. God means that. We need to begin to honor really what Christ did for us and redeemed for us. Love the name of your church. He redeemed us from sin, but he redeemed our power, our right to rule in this earth. I'm talking about the kingdom. It was actually Jesus' favorite subject when he talked. He never stopped talking about the kingdom. We've been given the keys to the kingdom. Is that what the word says? Who would like to know how to use them? Keys are a symbol of this new time on the earth. Keys do many things for us. They certainly open doors to new houses. They unlock treasures of darkness. And I'm not talking about the devil's darkness. I'm not talking about that. The treasures of darkness. Hidden treasures. There's a dark glory that surrounds the Father sometimes. I know I'm rabbit trailing, but I don't have a lot of time, and I want to get this in here. You need to understand, you need to have this picture of God the Father, and sometimes there's such brilliance coming out of him, and yes, he can leave the throne. Say, the Father is not glued to the throne. He does get up and walk around heaven to visit you when you go there. You can actually spend alone time with him. He's filled with love. He loves you. He is for you. He is not against you. Jesus knows that we have weaknesses and we make mistakes. He lived here. And just for free, I'm going to throw this in here. He became poor the second he left heaven. A lot of people have been fed from the past that Jesus was poor on this earth. He was not poor by man's standards. He was poor by heaven's standards. That was not three wise men who came and brought him gifts. It was three caravans. You show me any king who's going to leave and take a 2-year tour across the desert on one camel. I'm trying to give you visuals because you know what? God loves visuals. He's going to use Hollywood to show a lot of visuals. I'm already working on the first movie script. I was contacted by producers some time ago, but it wasn't God's time. And we're going to show the truth about the spirit realm. We're going to show the truth about what happened on hell on the third day. You're going to know what your authority is as a believer. And people are going to change their mind about who believers are. You're going to see what happens in the spirit realm when a believer gets born again. If they want reality, I'll give them a reality show. We are too hot for hell to handle. I'm talking about who you are. We are not little weak human beings trying to make it through on this earth. You are supernatural, spiritual beings that the Father wrapped flesh around so you could have dominion in this earth. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. Something that human eyes can't see, but you know he's going to open yours and let you see it. One half of that kingdom is the angelic realm. Say, they're the other part of our team. Say it again. They're the other part of our team. Say, they fought on behalf of Israel. They had war in the heavens. Now the war has moved down here. Say, the army of heaven is one of our weapons. You need to write that down. It's one of those missing elements. You know, women, I know, and men, because they cook too. Not my husband. Well, I will have to say this. My husband makes the best cup of hot cocoa of anybody on this earth. Even better than I make it. And you know what? Why that makes me so happy? It's the most important thing in my day. It's like my coffee. I don't like coffee. Yes, they have coffee in heaven. Say amen. Amen. I'm not kidding either. Why not? How many people like coffee? Say amen. Amen. How many people like apple pie? Say amen. Amen. How many people like ribs? Amen. How about fried chicken? Amen. Cornbread? Amen. How about collard greens? Amen. That's why they have food in heaven. And they also have pizza and spaghetti and meatballs. And just about anything you've ever loved to eat, they have it there, and there's no weight gain or food allergies. No lactose intolerant people, gluten-free stuff in heaven. Why do you think they don't want to come back? They don't even have to cook it if they don't want to. Say hallelujah. I got to throw a little bit of heaven in there. Everybody say this, on earth, as it is in heaven, I'm believing for the food too. And for all those scoffers who think you don't eat in heaven, what do you think they're going to serve you at the marriage supper of the Lamb? Not grapes. And there will be dessert. Because Jesus loves sweets. I'm serious. I have been in the throne room many, many, many times. And many times there are sweets being brought as gifts to our Lord and Savior. And they're all the way up the steps to the throne. Say yay. Where do you think you got that sweet tooth from? Back in Jesus' day, that was called honeycomb. Didn't you know that Jesus' whole family, they all loved honey? It's healthy, too. How many people remember when Jesus made that meal for the disciples on the beach? How many people remember? I know what he served them because I don't like half of it. I'm sorry. Seafood and honeycomb. He served the entree and the dessert. The dessert was the honeycomb. He loved it. He ate it everywhere. The Holy Spirit tells on him all the time. And then the Holy Spirit said it ran in the family because what did John the Baptist, his cousin, eat? Say locusts and honey. See? That sweet tooth, Jesus gave you that. Just have it in moderation, except when you get to heaven. Heaven is quite fascinated with all of us down here. And every one of your family members who live there are watching your race. They know this is a very special time on the earth. The only thing that's going to end on this earth is how we have been living our lives. Because for the first time, the body of Christ is going to start ruling and reigning. I was shown part of the future. I saw whole regions, which include cities, that were regions of light and glory that crime and sin and sickness could not abide in. Everyone say this, the knowledge of the glory will cover this earth like the waters cover the sea. And I'm going to help carry it. Say, Christ in me is the hope of glory. Do you know why he wants glory to be spread around this earth? Because glory carries the power. I've seen the glory of God around his throne. I've heard power. It has a sound. Everywhere that presence goes, it touches everything in heaven. It was one of the things I remember the most about being there. I didn't just see the glory. I could feel and hear the power of God coming from him. He is your dad. That's where our real family is. You came from him. Christ came so you could go back to him. But while on this earth, he wants you to live an abundant life, for he would not have said that his son would bring that. Say amen. Everything I'm sharing with you, I have experienced it. The last 8 months, I have seriously put my hand to the plow and begin to rule in the kingdom. Say, the kingdom is in me. I need to let it out. So the world can see what a true believer lives and looks like. Jesus never tolerated anything of the enemy in his life while he walked on this earth. He never was concerned about something. He never was in fear of anything. The demons would scream to get away from him. Say, we need to be like that. Well, it will happen because I was shown it happening. We need to start living our lives as if we really did rule from heaven. We are seated there. There's a layer of your soul that looks just like you, if you're a believer, and is seated in heavenly places with Jesus Christ. It represents you on this earth. When you give yourself to Jesus, he has the right to take that layer of your soul, and that's how you're seated in that image. It looks just, if you could see your soul, say, I love revelation. This may be shocking some people. He is bringing revelation on how he put you together. So you know how wonderfully he designed you. I can't leave your soul out because your soul has a lot to do with operating in the power. Guard your heart. He's talking about your soul. For out of it flow the issues of life. So whatever you let in, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. We need to change the way we think about ourselves. And when you talk bad about yourself, your soul collects that. It goes in your soul like a big sponge. Everything you watch, you read, and you say goes in your soul, and it makes you who you are. And it doesn't matter whether you're a believer or not. The soul works the same way. You need to get up in the morning and declare who God says you are. Declare who God is. Invite him to begin to rule from your heart. Amen. You have to change your mindset. Make sure you're reading the Word of God or you're leaving out the best part. Some people have said, we don't need the Word anymore. Well, I don't know about them, but it's in heaven. It says it's eternal. Say amen. But there's mysteries and revelation being brought in the Word of God right now, because this is a very important time on this earth to walk in true power and authority that Christ gave us, what he intended for you to live like in this earth. So when he left the cross and descended, he was down there, you know, in hell for 3 days. That's what the Word says. Say amen. But something happened on the third day. In Colossians, read Colossians 3. It talked about how he stripped the enemy, it says. And it says that he spoiled, look up the word spoiled in the dictionary when you get home. You can't fix it. It means ruined, destroyed. You cannot fix something that's been spoiled or ruined. He ruined and spoiled the principalities and powers, which is the enemy's highest level in his army. He ruined and spoiled them in front of their own leader and made a show of it. Say, there was a show in hell on the third day. It wasn't the show hell was expecting. He made a show of it, openly triumphing in it. Why did he triumph? Because he knew he would be able to give that same power and authority to us because he paid a price for it. And when he rose from the dead, and we receive him as our Lord and Savior, he forgives us of all of our sins. He seats us in heavenly places. He says that we are joint heirs with him. What he had, he gives to us. And then he said, I give you power. Because remember, he was down there. He had to show them no righteous person can be kept in hell, number one. He was innocent. He was righteous. They couldn't contain him there. And after a while, they didn't want him there. And he was letting them know, this is who I am. And anyone who follows me, believes in me, I give them this. And then he actually said, I give you power over all the power of the enemy. And how about the next part? And nothing by any means shall harm you. So let's... I like to flip the verses because I found that if you turn them around, you see them more clear. Nothing by any means shall harm you when you take power over all the power of the enemy. So guess why that's not happening? Because we're not taking power over all the power of the enemy. Because if you were, nothing by any means, in any way, at any time would harm you. Those words came from our Lord and Savior. So you have power, like he had power. They couldn't wait to get away from him in hell. You should be able to walk into a place and the demons run to get away from you because of the glory and the power of God that lives on the inside of you. One of our greatest weapons is love. God does not want to win people in this world by fear. Say, fear belongs to the devil. So if anybody here is in fear today, that did not come from God. And don't tolerate it anymore in your life. The Lord started talking to me about tolerating anything. Don't tolerate anything. If it's from the enemy, don't tolerate it. Take power over all the power of the enemy who is bringing that to you. And then loose the host of heaven on the demonic realm that's trying to attack your life. And let them pull down the strongholds. This is what the Lord taught me over the last 8 months. He takes us from glory to glory. You go from level to level when you rule. But you got to start somewhere. Don't let him in your house, number one. Don't let the enemy in your house. I'm talking about a spiritual enemy. When I say enemy, I'm talking about Satan and his demonic army of darkness. Or any symbol of darkness. Anything that represents hell. I don't have it in my home. I have none of him in me. Sin is not an option for me. Because I'm not helping the enemy's army. You choose Christ. You choose to live like he did on this earth. He lived on this earth as a man. And yet he didn't sin. Do you know that you can actually get to a point where you have a sinless life? Say, you have to choose it. It's a lot of fun not having sin. And do you know why it's a lot of fun? Because your power increases over the enemy. So you're here today to hear about the power of God in your life to the point where you don't tolerate the enemy not just messing with you, but your family, your friends, places that you go to. Wherever you go, you do not have to tolerate the enemy there. Jesus didn't. The body of Christ needs to wake up, unpack their bag, kick anything of the enemy out of their life, and get their crown on. Say, get your crown on and start to rule. Because we have power over all the power of the enemy. And nothing by any means shall harm us, because it's going to run to get away from us. This is the future God showed me for the body of Christ. And yes, we do make mistakes. We live on this earth, we make mistakes. But guess what? He is quick to forgive you of those mistakes. He'll never stop loving you, but his whole heart and desire for you is to rule and take dominion. How many people would like to live a life like that? It says that the nations will be drawn to the light or to the glory. It doesn't say they'll be drawn to fear and doom and gloom or poverty. Amen? Or oppression. They have enough of that of their own. But we're supposed to be a light in this world. And you need to seriously see that the armies of heaven, they are one of your weapons. We only wrestle with the enemy. They fight him. Do you know how powerful that is to understand that the army of heaven is one of our weapons? What do you think they're doing? They're not protecting heaven. There's no evil or darkness in heaven. What do you think those millions upon millions of army members of the army of heaven are doing right now? They're down here waiting for you to say something. You overcome by the word of your testimony. Is something that you said and did in your life, walking with Jesus Christ, engaging with the army of heaven to bow down the strongholds, to protect you, to keep you in all your ways. It's not really anything new, except at least Israel let them do it. They got into trouble. They'd always pray to God, send the army. Is this all true? Why do we not do that? We should have more authority and more ability to engage them, because Jesus lives in us and they hearken under the word of the Lord. And if we're speaking his words, what do you think they're going to do? In Isaiah 13, it talked about the army when Israel was in trouble and they prayed because they knew God would send them. And it said that the captain of the host went to the far ends of heaven and gathered the army. And then they went and fought on behalf of Israel. Well, today they're living in our sky and they're all over in the sky outside this church right now. We saw them on the way here. The Father calls this time the kingdom age. It's a whole different time that never existed on the earth. When we will literally stand up, take authority over the enemy, strip away his power, and then loose the host of heaven on them, whether it's a person, place, or thing trying to control stuff on this earth or your own life. And guess what? They will deal with it. They are fierce. And they love to pull down those strongholds. They love to see the kingdom of darkness fail. You have a weapon. That weapon is not carnal. It is not fleshly. It is spiritual. They are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. Everybody say, they are mighty to the pulling down of strongholds. So we need to employ them. Stand up. Everybody stand up. We're going to do it right now. I think the only one who has an ISIS crisis is hell. Do you not realize that you have power and authority over all the demonic controlling those groups? Stop looking at the flesh. Stop being afraid of the flesh. You have authority and power over any of the wicked entities controlling those people, making them do that stuff, empowering them, making them bold. When you strip away the power of the enemy who's controlling them, they're left on their own and fear falls on them. They're certainly not advertising that groups everywhere of those people are breaking up and they're running. They're abandoning their weapons and many of them are actually getting born again. Because you can do something about it. If new gangs move into your city, don't go, oh no, lock your doors. Well, you can lock your doors. But don't dwell on what the fear factor is. Get the host factor involved. Because if they're sent here to fight on our behalf and all you do is sit around and talk about how bad these new gangs are, guess what's going to happen? Say nothing. But you, as a believer, can stand up and say, I take power and authority over all the power of the enemy and the demonic controlling those gangs, and I strip that power away and loose the host of heaven to pull down all the demonic strongholds controlling them. I'm doing that in my own city right now. I'm not tolerating it. This is how you create regions of glory. You rule. And I'm only doing what's scriptural. Because Jesus went down into hell's headquarters and stripped away their power and spoiled principalities and powers and made a show of it opening and then turns around to us and say, okay, I'm giving you power and authority over all the power of the enemy. And Jesus himself said, I can call legions of angels to come and fight on my behalf. He said that while he walked as a man on this earth. Did he say that? So if he gave us, if we're joint heirs with him, we have the right and the ability to use what he walked in on this earth. Guess what? We have that ability. The hosts of heaven have always fought on behalf of those that belong to God. But we don't do anything with them. How would you like it if you ignored the fact we have an armies? We have armies to protect our country. Is that true? They're out there working on your behalf. Well, you have a spiritual army bigger than our natural army, wanting to do more for you, waiting for us to say something. And I have news for you from the Father. You invite the host of heaven to come and fight on your behalf. You have to always give permission. You must invite Jesus Christ into your life as your Savior. You must invite Holy Spirit in to dwell in you and help guide you. Is this true? Yes. Anytime you're having anything to do with heaven, you have to invite. So we're going to say it together. Father,
I choose
as an act of my will, to invite the host of heaven to be released into their assignment on my behalf. I recognize that you have sent them. They belong to you. They're here to protect me. Thank you, Father, for sending the army of heaven. And please forgive me for not having the ability to release them. Today, I am changing that. So right now, I strip away all the power of the enemy, all the power of hell operating against me or my household in any way. And I loose and release the host of heaven who are sent on my behalf to pull down every stronghold, every wall, any blockage, any lies, any deceptions, any of the addictions that the enemy is coming against me. Go get them, guys, and pull it down. I'm for you. Hallelujah. Amen. Woo! Woo! Say, we have power over all the power of the enemy. We are not powerless. We are filled with the power of God. We have the name of Christ, the blood of Christ. We have our new weapon, the army of heaven. I will be fearless and fierce to come against the enemy anytime he shows himself. He's going to lose. He was defeated in hell. And we're going to stick the army on him. Because we're not tolerating hell in our lives anymore. Amen. Hallelujah. Woo. Woo. And before you go to bed at night, just run outside and say, hey guys, I just want to thank you for being another part of my team. Amen. Thank you.